Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just stand one more time for a moment. We need to praise our Lord. We need to praise our Lord. Amen. Just right now, just say out loud, Lord, I love you. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you. I worship you. Lord, I'm thankful that you're here, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to be doing in our lives, Father. We worship you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And we love you, Lord. We praise your holy and precious name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, even when summer comes, you don't leave and go out to the lake. But Lord, you're here with us in the midst. And Lord, we thank you for that, Father, with your presence here and the Holy Spirit and Jesus all here together. And Lord, we give you all that praise and glory and honor this morning. And that your anointing be upon the congregation and upon me as I speak the word, Father. And Lord, that you continue to do a supernatural work at Crossfire Assembly. Father, we do not look to the left nor to the right, but Lord, we look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was going to ask Brian. Brian, you still, yeah, you're right there. You don't have to work Sundays, do you?
No.
All right. All right. Because I was going to tell you to quit your new job, you know. Ooh, wow. Awesome, man. Got some good family time then. Praise the Lord. That's great. The Lord always takes care of his people. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Oh, Simons are back with us this morning. Nice to have you back, too. And, you know, people, I know it's summer here. People are gone at more and some get sick, believe it or not. Cold's even going around in the summertime, too. But praise the Lord. I'm not discouraged because Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered, and there's more than two here, so I'm safe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Peace in the midst of the storm. You know, it's amazing. I sometimes when I'm witnessing to people and they have storms in their life, and you invite them to go to a church that prays for them, that encourages them, and then they don't come. Amazes me. But you know something, if you're here this morning and you are in the midst of a storm, or you know that somebody that is, we've got an answer.
Yes.
Amen? Praise the Lord. So prior to this message, we see that Jesus taught a few parables onto his disciples at this time and about the kingdom of God. And possibly for the sake of privacy, I'm not sure, but of privacy and relaxation, Jesus proposed a trip across the Lake of Galilee. And you'll find that in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 41. And in this passage, Mark the evangelist gives a graphic account of stilling the storm as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. It says in Mark chapter 4, 35 and 41, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them," meaning the 12, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took it, him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." Did you catch that now? There's other little ships there also. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." You know, in Luke said that they were filled with water. That must have been some storm, huh? And in Matthew, when you read the story, he said the ship was covered with waves. Have you ever been in a boat or a ship when the waves were up there and they're, yeah, amen, just got some hands here. But I tell you what, it was a storm going on, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." You know, when I read that, I think about Jesus. I can see him standing up, looking around at all the waves and the things going on around him and the fear and everything. But here's the creator of the universe standing in this boat, and he simply says, "Peace." Can you hear the wind stop? And then he said, be still. Can you hear the waves stilling down? And it comes to a calm because the master spoke. The power. Amen? And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That must have been an experience to be in. And just like the disciples, many times we find ourselves in the midst of storms, don't we? We have things going on in our lives and problems and difficulties. But this morning, I want to remind you that we can experience God's peace in the midst of a storm. We can experience that. And how can we experience the midst of a storm? I want to give you four keys here this morning, which we can experience peace in the midst of the storm. And number one is trust the word of God. Amen. Trust the word of God. Jesus did not say, let us go into the midst of the sea and drown. He didn't say that, did he? He said, let us pass over onto the other side. That should give you great hope. If you're in the midst of the storm, or if you go into the midst of the storm, Jesus said, let's pass on over to the other side. This too shall pass away, that storm, when you have Jesus. And I want to state too, when I'm speaking about this, if you're in here, you're a born-again Christian, you'll understand this. What I'm preaching on more than if you're in here and you've never given your life to the Lord, you're going to say, what? Because you've never learned to trust in the word of God. But the disciples didn't trust the words of Jesus either at that point when they were caught up in the storm. They didn't trust him. This shows that the disciples still, they didn't comprehend the authority that Jesus spoke with when he spoke. They merely saw him as a Messiah who would set them free from tyranny from the Romans. And they didn't realize that he had authority over the wind and over the waves. In verse 41 again, it says, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can you imagine them standing there looking at Jesus as the sea calmed down and the wind ceased and it was calm? The words, let us go over on the other side, had as much authority and power as the words, and God said, let there be light in Genesis 1:3. God spoke it into existence just by his mere words. He spoke it, let there be light, and there was light, just like Jesus did at this storm. Peace, be still, and everything that came from his lips happened there. They were focusing on the wind and the waves instead of the words of Christ. And how often do we do that when we have problems and situations in our lives where we're focused on the things around us and not on the Lord? Amen? We do. We have a tendency to do that, the circumstances of life. And that's what the disciples were doing also. Let me say here, if you don't read the Bible, you aren't going to know what Jesus says either. Did you know that? You won't believe how many times you can go out and I can find people. In fact, I had somebody yesterday that I was sharing the gospel with that had some issues that said they were a born-again Christian. But it's obvious as I got into a conversation with him, he didn't read his Bible. He had no idea what the Word of God said. And I had to tell him what the Word of God says, and it was like it was a revelation to him. To me, that always amazes me that Christians do not read their Bibles. But we need to be reading the Word of God. Amen? Amen? They were focusing on the storm instead of the fact that Jesus was in the boat. Just think, right with them. The one that they've been around, they knew him. He's standing right there. But it didn't bring any help to him. Didn't bring any help to him whatsoever. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We need to trust the word of God, even in the midst of storms, people. We need to trust him. Somebody said that if you have only the word, you'll dry up. If you have only the spirit, you'll blow up. But if you have both the word and the spirit, you'll grow up. And there's truth into that. There's people that know the Bible forward and back. I mean, they know the whole thing, but there's nothing in their life. There's no power in their life. There's no growth in their life. And then there's others that are always saying, God said this and God said that. God spoke this to me, but they never read the Bible. How do they know that's coming from God? But if you have both the Word and the Spirit, you will grow up. There's too many Christians who are not growing in the things of God, especially in the hour that we live today. Prayer without the Word is like watering the ground without seed. We know about that, don't we, Jim? If you don't water the seed, it doesn't grow. And if there's no seed, there's no reason to water. And we need to do that and read the Word. We need to read, to meditate, and to live in God's Word. Don't worry if somebody thinks you're a religious fanatic or a Bible thumper because you quote the Word of God or tell them, well, this is how I live my life. I'm never ashamed to tell anybody that I live for the Lord Jesus Christ, ever. Whether I'm out in the world where it doesn't bother me one bit. You know why? Because it doesn't bother them to say things to me about worldly things. And I sure don't have a problem coming back and saying, well, this is what I believe according to the Word of God. We need to be radical in our walk with the Lord, especially now where we live. People, we're entering some serious times. I say this quite frequently. I'm going to keep saying to remind you that we're entering some time. They're talking civil disobedience in this nation right now. Things are happening behind the scenes you and I don't even know about. We have a Supreme Court justice going to be voted up, put in tomorrow, I think, is the deadline. We're going to find out who that is. If this Supreme Court becomes a conservative court, we may be able to overthrow Roe versus Wade. And all these little babies have been aborted in the womb for several years. It'll stop according to the law. It'll still go on to a certain extent, but it's going to be against the law to do it now. And we need to be praying for our nation. And we need the Word of God into our hearts and everything. Because believe me, people, not only a storm in our own personal life, but we have a storm in America right now. We have a storm in the world right now. And we need to be praying. And we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus during this storm, whether in our life or within our nation right now. We need to come to Him and say, Jesus, bring peace in the midst of the storm. Things are happening, people. Things are happening. We need to read, to meditate in God's Word daily. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Peter writes, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." They saw. I like that. "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount," a voice from heaven. "We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts." See, the only the Word of God is the true light that can dispel the darkness in our life and in this world right now. The Word of God. And we have to teach our young people this. We have to let them know that Jesus Christ is the answer in the hour in which we live too. Because they are in storms right now in the schools in America. And a lot of these young children are being sought out by the enemy to destroy them. And they have storms in their life. And we as adults, we as people of the Word of God, need to speak into our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our children, and even our adult children sometimes, and even into our grandpas and grandmas. Ouch. That's true. Because we got baby grandpa and grandmas too. And we need to always be speaking the Word of God. Many of us cry out to God for a word while our Bibles are lying on shelves. God has already spoken to us through His Word, hasn't He? And the written Word of God is a sure prophetic word than an audible voice. The truth is right here in the Word of God. Stop looking for a supernatural audible voice and start reading your Bible, people. You know something? I said it just earlier. If you're not reading the Word and you're only looking for the supernatural to hear God's voice, how do you know it's God's voice? I know people who've been led astray when they say they heard a voice tell them this. And it wasn't God. And I don't seek for an audible voice from God. God may put an impression. He can speak audible. It may be an impression or however he decides to do it. But when it happens, you better know that it lines up with this. That's what you need to do. Because there's too many people going around saying, I heard God say. Was it God? I've read things about people saying God told them this and God told them that. And then new revelations. And it's not in the Word of God. It's not in his Word. It didn't back it up. That wasn't God. It was either their pizza or the devil. It was something. See, God has already spoken his Word to us. And the Word of God is a sure prophetic word than an audible voice. Peter thought the importance of the Word more important than the audible voice. That's why he said it in 1 Peter here. We have also a more sure word of prophecy in verse 19. See, God will speak to you through his word. Many have listened to a supernatural voice again, and they were led astray. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And then in Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in the Lord. That's where your perfect peace comes, when you trust in the Lord in the midst of a storm. When something all of a sudden comes into your life and you have no control over it, or it looks like it might destroy you or someone you know, and we get fear, we don't need to. We need to, just like the psalmist says right here, Isaiah. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in the Lord. Amen? The Word of God declares in Psalms 119:92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Saints, in the storm, it is the Word of God that gives us peace and it gives us hope and assurance, and that's why we need to trust in the Lord. And number two, do not stay in fear, in verse 40 of Mark. Remember, Jesus said, why are you so fereful? You see them all 12 lined up there, and Jesus said, why are you all so fearful? Another thing that we need to remember when we're in a storm is that we should not stay in the fear when the crisis hit us. Not to stay there. And let's face it, all of us get afraid, don't we, in difficult situations sometimes when they come against us? We get fearful. But we must not stay in that fear. We can't stay in it. The cry of the disciple in verse 38, he said, Master, carest not thou we perish? Don't you care, Jesus? Can't you see what's happening? The ship is going to capsize. We're going down. Don't you care about us? See, it doesn't come as a request. It was actually an expression of fear that was coming from the disciples. They felt their master didn't care about them. Mark gives a graphic description of the fearful situation that the disciples were in verse 37. And it's rendered in a literal translation. And it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That had to be very scary. I don't know about you, but when you see pictures, I don't know if you ever saw, what's that one Discovery program, tuna with tuna fishermen, you ever see that? And sometimes they show the boat, and it's going way up and way down in those big, huge waves, and it's dark in a boat. I mean, it's fearful-looking stuff. And I thought, man, I'm glad it's them out there and not me. Well, these disciples here, I tell you, they were experiencing what that felt like. The disciples were in a terrible situation. The storm was life-threatening. Storms of life comes to every person once or more times in our life like that. They were not afraid for no reason. There was a storm. And some of these disciples were experienced fishermen too. They've been out there before. They've seen it, but yet they were fearful. But they understood that this storm could not snatch away, or that it could snatch away their very lives. Jesus still asked him, "Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful?" And at first, the question, it may seem strange considering their surrounding, what's happening. And who in his right mind wouldn't be fearful when a storm hit him like that, huh? I would be. But Jesus went on to ask them as to why they didn't have any faith. And the implication was that if they had faith in what Jesus told them, they wouldn't have been fearful. The antidote to fear is faith. Did you hear that? The antidote to fear is faith. Faith kills fear. And just as fear kills faith. You got that? Faith kills fear just as fear kills faith. Your faith, you may say, "Man, I believe God." Your faith is way up here, and you may walk out the door and get a phone call or something happened to you, and all of a sudden fear comes in. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? You say, "Lord, I don't know what's happening right now." And there can be fear overwhelming you too, but in the same breath, there can be faith permeating up in your being as the power of God begins to move. That's why we continue to stay in the Word of God to build our faith, to build it up, because we're going to need it, and we do need it. The Bible doesn't ask us to use faith during the times of crisis. It doesn't. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. "Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him will become filled with pride, but the just in his faith shall live." But the just in his faith. Amen? The faith is in you. You don't build it up at that point. Psalms 46, 1 and 3. "God is our refuge and strength, the very help in tribulation." So whatever you're walking through today, God is there. He knows it. He knows how to handle it. He knows how to get you through it. Praise the Lord. Man, I should hear a bunch of amens in here. Is this Pentecostal church or what?
Amen.
Come on, is it or not? I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, the creator of the world, the God who created the clouds, the sky, the water, the fish. He created you. He created everything you see, and he's our soon coming King. He's the one that saved us from an eternal hell, and we can't get excited.
Amen.
Come on. Man, if you can't get excited in church, you're sure not going to be excited out there. I'm sorry, folks, but that's just the way I live my life, because I'm excited about God. Amen. I told a guy just yesterday, "I'm excited about Jesus." And you know what he said? "I can tell." and that's the way it should be. You know, people will come and they'll talk to you about the twins and all that, and they get all excited. I'm bored, to be honest with you. I have nothing against the twins. But I tell you what, somebody starts talking about Jesus, my ears perk up. I'm ready to talk. Because I got something to talk about. Psalms 46, 1 and 3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very help in tribulation. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the violence thereof." Selah. Have you seen the pictures in Hawaii? The lava flows and what's happening over there? Very frightening looking things, isn't it? And there's people that are very fearful of that. God tells us we don't have to be afraid when we see those things begin to happen. Bible says in Psalms 23, 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And really, that speaks of near death, not death, but of near death. Danger of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. See, when Jesus is with us, when we keep fixed on Jesus, it's just like these dumb sheep out there. When the shepherd comes along with his rod and staff, and he's directing them and correcting them and knocking their knees and stuff and making sure they're going where they got to go. These sheep are comfortable. They're in peace because their shepherd is showing them the way to go through the midst of the storm. When the wolves are howling and everything, they look to the shepherd. The shepherd is protecting him, and they know it, and they're at comfort and peace. We are the sheep, and our shepherd is the one we are to look to, and he's capable. Amen. See, in verse 40, Jesus is saying, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful when I'm in the boat? Is God in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? He's in my boat. Everything that comes in my life during the day and hard things come against me too, I remind myself that Jesus is in my boat. He's here. He's here through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's here at any given second of moment, microsecond, he is there to establish what he wants to do in my life. Isn't that incredible? You people got to get more excited. I think you should be excited.
Amen.
I really do. I think you got to show a little more excitement. And I'm not ordering you to do it. I'm just saying, I think you should. That's my personal opinion. You should be. Not because I'm preaching it, but because whom I'm preaching about. Praise God. See, the phrase, listen to this now. The phrase, like, fear not is used 365 times in the Bible. One for each day of the year. But listen to Lloyd Ogilvie. I like Lloyd Ogilvie. In Facing the Future Without Fear, even said there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year, including leap year. One for every single day there is a fear not. So when you wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, you can say, I fear not. There's your fear not. For his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
I fear not because Jesus is in me. See, God doesn't want us to go a single day without hearing the word of comfort. Fear not. Jesus says in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. See, we shouldn't allow fear to rule over us. And when it comes against us, it's a spirit, people. It's a spirit. And when it comes, we should not permit it. We do not have to allow it to dominate our life. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we need to be in the word of God. You need, and I said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as the Lord allows me to preach the word to you folks, whether you like it or not. And I say that respectfully. You need to read the word. And sometimes you need to read it out loud so you hear it in here. Because once it gets in here and gets in your spirit, it's building your faith. And the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you in remembrance when you need it. See, in the same way, fear comes by hearing the world and Satan. How many times I've heard people, I'm so fearful of the news that I hear every day and the things that are happening in the world. I'm fearful what's going to happen next. And they're walking around in fear. But we don't have to be. You're listening to the wrong thing. You shouldn't be listening to the news in that respect, even though we got to keep up to date. But you should not be focused on the world and the news of today and on Satan's word, but you need to be focused on the word of God. When the enemy comes in with a flood with the thoughts of all the events that are happening as we draw closer to his coming, we're to come back to here and realize that Jesus is in perfect peace. He said, why are you fearful? I already told you what's going to happen in the world. And yeah, some people are going to have to lose their life, but you know something? If Jesus is in you, you don't lose your life, you gain it. Amen. We win either way. We win either way. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to remember that in our lives. Praise the Lord. Why are you so fearful? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind." We have sound minds, people. We have the mind of Christ. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the mind of Christ, and you can rely on that mind when you are walking through things in your life. Saints of God, we are going through storms, but we don't need to stay in fear. We don't need to stay in it. It will try to attack us, but it's a spirit, and you can rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. You can take authority over demonic spirits of fear and rebuke them in the name of Jesus and get lost, Satan. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, he's in my boat. Greater is he than in me than he that is in the world. Maybe you need to speak that next time something's getting fearful in your life. And just say, greater is he. Focus upon him. Because when we do and we trust in him, that fear will dissipate away. It will go in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. See, the third key is be assured of God's goodness. Be assured of God's goodness. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They asked Jesus that. The third key, again, be assured of the goodness of God. The disciples doubted God's goodness. They felt that Jesus didn't care about them. Before we criticize these timid disciples, we need to search our own hearts too, don't we? We really need to do that. Do we really trust him? When we go through the storms of life, sometimes we doubt God's goodness and even question his sovereign will in our life. We wonder whether God is making a mistake by allowing certain painful situations in our lives. But the fact is that God does care for us. Everything that is happening to you and I in our life, it can either bring us down and Satan can destroy us, or we can put our trust in the Lord and God can bring us up to his level. And he can build us to become more like Jesus. He's making us become more like Jesus. Every storm of life is something, a building block to make us more like our Lord and our Savior. It's building our faith. Are you still with me? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Have you done that today? Have you cast all your care? Some of you got things in your mind, maybe going through your mind, sitting here, situations in your life that you got to face. Have you cast it upon the Lord? You know, I get so excited during the day. There's times and things happen in my life during the day and they're out of my control or whatever, and I don't know how they're going to turn out. I just say, Lord, to yours. Whatever happens, I just give them to you. I cast them upon you right now and I leave them there. And the Lord always gets me through them. He always does. Brings me through, casting all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. The writer in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Did you hear that? He knows it. He knows what we experience because he's experienced it. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of his grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, we come to Jesus. You notice how Jesus, his word always keeps us coming back to him because he's the source. He's the peace and he's the calm of the storm. And he's the only one many times. And many times we don't get out of our storms fast enough because we're looking to the wrong people. We're looking for somebody to help us out financially. We're looking for somebody, if we get sick, we go, and those are all good things too. I mean, if they're done in order properly. But I tell you, the first person or the first one we should run to is always Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. Amen. Robert Weiss' words seem very wise when he advises us not to question why. He says, knowing that God stands with me means that I really don't have to have an answer for all mysterious whys of my life. I like that. Why, we suggest that instead of asking why, we need to ask, what does this mean for me and how can God use my situation? That's what we should be asking. Now, I'm always amazed how many times we will blame God and say, God, why don't you care? Why are you allowing that? And we never realize it can either be bad decisions on our part or it can be satanic activity trying to bring us down. Why don't we ever blame the devil? Amen. Or maybe take responsibility for things that we don't do right and we got ourselves into a fix, and God in his grace and mercy will take us out of them many times also, right? Amen. See, I like the response of Job when he couldn't understand what God was, what was going on in his life. It says in Job chapter 1, verses 20, 21, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Maybe that's what we need to do when we see ourselves in desperation and storms of life. Maybe we need to get up on our knees and begin to worship God and quit focusing on what just happened and begin to say, Lord, I praise you. I glorify you're the mighty God and I worship you. Amen? I tell you what, it's there for a reason. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what, Job, that was his response to circumstances. He couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out, but that's his response to God. And we should be doing the same thing with the Lord's help. And many times we don't because we're not in the book enough to allow the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to put in our spirits. And so we miss what God's got. Jeremiah 29:11, and I know you all know it. For I know the thoughts that I think concerning you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you the end that you wait for. See, God's thoughts toward us is peace. Remember Jesus said peace to the storm? Well, he's the Prince of Peace, and God thinks peace to us. When we're in the middle of a storm and a situation, our Lord is thinking peace. Peace. That's what he's thinking. It says it right here. I didn't make it up. It's right here. For I know the thoughts that I think concerning you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. What's he steal? He can steal your peace and your joy. And to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Christians, we need to be people of faith and we need to let the world out around us see that we walk in faith, trusting in this Jesus because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. See, the scripture, they don't mean that God will not allow difficult situations in our lives or he will not prune us when we need discipline. That isn't what it's talking about. But it says that our God is a good God who always intends good for us. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. See, the storms of life and the bad things that happen in our life, God can turn them around and use them for good. For our good, for his glory. And many times your past that you walked away from, whether you've been abused, whether you've been rejected, whatever's happened in your life in those storms, you're still saying this morning, I don't know why those things happen. I don't understand. You don't need to understand them. You got to understand that God used them for your good, for his glory. And they're, even where you're at in life right now, those situations have brought you to where you're at. And God is still working on your behalf for your good. Isn't that incredible? But that's what he's doing in our life. Wow. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass it as is this day to save much people. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How many things? This year, you know, it was a little stuffy. I had a tire blowout on my 59 Chevy when I was a kid, and it's a little harder. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you know something? It is all. All things, the bad things, the good things, all things. God can put them into perspective and bring good out of everything for your good and your future. Just think what a God that is. He can take the terrible things that you looked at. How could God allow that? God doesn't do evil to us, people. But he can take evil things and make them good. Because he's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossible. You don't need to be discouraged serving this Jesus. When you go through a storm, trust in God's goodness. He is for you and is at work in your and my life continually. Lastly, recognize that God is in control. Amen? God is in control. We see in verse 38, Jesus sleeping when the boat was filled with water. And they wake him up. Jesus is sleeping. It wasn't a MyPillow. But he had his head on the pillow. And that old boat, like I said before, was rocking and up and down. And the water was probably even splattering on Jesus. But he was sleeping. And the disciples were all around him and couldn't figure that one out. And they wake him. Well, some scholars describe Jesus' peaceful sleep to his own faith in the Father's care, which I believe. I think that's good. Others see it as a sign of Jesus' sovereignty and security, because he knew. Jesus knew. Jesus' subsequent actions in chapter 4:39 of Mark, and he rose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the disciples' response in verse 41, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is this? Seemed to support the suggestion that Jesus, the Son of God, was sovereign over the storm. Amen? In verse 39, we see Jesus stilled the storm with a word. Jesus accomplished what in the Old Testament only Yahweh could do at that time. Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assuaged. God did that. Psalm 74, 13-14. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of the Lephithians in pieces and gavest them to be meat to the people inhabitants in the wilderness. God supplied everything too. He's God. And this story assures Mark's readers that in Jesus they have one in whom God was and is at work. One whom the wind and the waves do obey, even when it appears that the storms may overwhelm them. And when we have responded to absolute call to discipleship and left all and risk our lives, we must also understand that the one who has called us will also preserve us in whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in life. Did you know that? He'll preserve us. He's with us every step of the way. I tell you what, if you ever want to experience that, God's security and keeping, go on the mission field. Go overseas and do mission work in areas that are not real friendly. And you'll see the power of God taking care of his people. Our God is the God who parted the Red Sea. He even stilled the sun. Can you imagine that? He stilled the sun. He raised people from the dead. And he healed sick people. And he even controls nature. This God is on our side. Did you know that? Yes. We need to have a revelation of who God is. We are in a time where we need to see the power of God in our lives, in our homes, in our schools, in our jobs. We've got to have people of God begin to stand up and speak the word of God and live it in front of people and not be intimidated. When we are in a storm, God may change the circumstances or deliver us out of the difficult circumstances or walk with us through the storms. I like it when he walks with me through the storms too. I've had to go through storms, but I knew Jesus was with me all the way. There was one point in my life when I said, "God, even if I die of this situation, I'm going to trust you," and God delivered me. And I'm still here. Amy, are you in here? I'm going to have you come up here. See, if you're going through a storm, don't be afraid. If you're going through a storm, don't be afraid. Jesus is in the boat. Say it with me. Jesus is in the boat. Say with me, Jesus is in me. Yeah, Jesus is in me. If you're in a difficult marriage, trust the Lord. Jesus is in the boat. If you're going through financial difficulty, let me tell you, Jesus is in the boat with you. If you're suffering from any sickness, remember, Jesus is in the boat, even in the middle of sickness. He's in the boat with you. And if you're depressed, cheer up, because Jesus is in the boat with you. If you're fearful, Jesus is in the boat with you. Experience the peace that Christ gives you even in the midst of your storm. Amen. Romans chapter 8, 35, 39, last scripture here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nevertheless, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Therefore I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nothing, no demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing in your life that can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I have Amy sing, I want everyone, if you can't, just sit where you're at if you have a hard time moving, but I want everybody to come to the altar. Please, I would like everyone to come and stand up around the altar. Close in. Rick, you lead the way. Get tight against the altar. Brian, you get brave here, man. Come right to the altar here. Praise the Lord. We're the family of God. God does a lot of work at altars. God does a lot of work, and there's something that happens when we come together. And brother, God sees you back there too. Chester, Marion, you're part of it. Just a little bit, little spacer, that's all. But you're part of it. Praise the Lord. Amy, I want you to sing that right now, and then I'm going to pray.
Hide me now under your
Hallelujah. How many with your heads bowed this morning would say, I need to remember that Jesus is in the boat with me? Huh? You got to just raise your hand and say, I need to remember. I need to remember that Jesus is in the boat with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you as the body of Christ right now, Lord. We stand before you at this altar, Lord. And we come before you and ask it through the power of your Holy Spirit that it will move within each of us and help us to sense the power and presence of you within our very beings. Those that are standing up here this morning with physical needs, with any kind of situation that is out of their control and out of their hands, in their physical bodies, in their families, whatever it is, Lord, you're here with us. You're in the boat with us, and you see it all. You hear it all. You know it all, and you can conquer it all. For we are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I lift them all up before your throne of grace and mercy. Everyone that needs a touch of the Holy Spirit in their body through healing, that by Jesus' stripes, that very Jesus that stood in the boat is here this morning and is the healer. Touch their bodies in the name of Jesus. Bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. Those that are bound with anything, maybe bound with fear, maybe bound with depression, maybe bound with things that no one's aware of but you, Lord. Release them from them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let there be a sense of peace and calm that sweeps this congregation right now. Let him just stand there and say, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. No matter if the enemy is screaming at him right now, saying you're not going to make it. Lord, you say, peace, be still. Let it flow through your people, Father. Let us all be one in faith right now, knowing that you're here. If the world was to be destroyed this moment, we're in peace knowing you're here with us during that time. And Lord, touch every person, touch every home. Lord, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for not trusting you, the mighty God. And we come to you as a congregation. Lord, I believe in my heart, great things are going to be happening within Crossfire and other churches that are committed to you and your word. And only those that will be looking unto Jesus will be able to have peace and calm in the coming storms. And so, Lord, help us to be prepared in our faith, in our lives right now. Touch every home in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you in our hearts and our lives for what you've done, for what you're going to do, and what you have done, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I've got Jesus in my boat. The Lord bless you. Have some good fellowship before you walk out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.